Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Jaina. We're here again. And I just want to say hello to everyone. Shalom, shalom. Welcome to all of you all that are here. I'm glad to have a group here. We have some very serious things that we need to talk about tonight. And I'm glad I'm putting this on the record because I know we have a lot of members that are in church, family members that are still in church, you know, that still believe in that institution. But some things, I was going through the internet today, and some things have come across, you know, that there's something really serious going on in the church, you know, and it's really serious. But they were talking about one incident in particular over the radio today, and they were talking about how the Southern Baptist leaders have been accused of sexual misconduct. It says, it's on CNN, it says 350 Southern Baptist leaders and volunteers accused of sexual misconduct. It says, since 1998, about 380 Southern Baptist leaders and volunteers have faced allegations of sexual misconduct, according to a sweeping investigation by two Texas newspapers. It says the Houston Chronicle and the San Antonio Express News also found, now listen, that in the past 20 years, more than 700 victims have been abused, with some urged to have abortion and forgive their abusers. It says the newspaper said their investigation included examining federal and state court databases, prison records, and official documents from more than 20 states, and by searching sex offender registries nationwide. In Texas alone, the newspaper interviewed police and district attorneys in 40 counties. Ultimately, we compiled information on 380 credible accused officials in Southern Baptist churches, including pastors, deacons, Sunday school teachers, and volunteers. The newspaper said, we verified that about 220 have been convicted of sex crimes or received deferred prosecution and plea deals. Of those 220, 90 remain in prison, and 100 are registered sex offenders, according to the report. It says the investigation comes as other religious bodies, including the Catholic Church, face accusations of widespread sexual abuse of its members, especially children, over decades. We have to watch our children. We are really, you know what, so many people have been raped. Children have been molested in the church by the pastors, the deacon. We have to get to our family members and really impress upon them to watch their children, because this is really serious. They said that, I think, well, if I heard it correctly, that the Catholic Church has now come out and said that the nuns were being treated like sex slaves in the Catholic Church. This is really critical. And, I couldn't believe it. And I think the Southern Baptist Leadership Conference is a predominantly Caucasian organization. But I remember years ago one of my friends went to a Baptist conference that was of the black church, and she came back and said the exact same thing. She said you would be horrified to see the way those people carry on. She said, my mouth was hung open. She said it was drugs there. They had crack. They had cocaine. They had marijuana. They were going in and out of each other's hotel rooms. There was threesomes going on, all kind of stuff going on when they went to these conferences. Critical. She said, I couldn't believe the things that I had heard, that I had seen with my own eyes. She called me from the place. She said, you wouldn't believe the filth that's going on. You just wouldn't believe it. She said, and then when it comes time for church, everybody go shower up. They put their church clothes on, and they go down in the convention center, and the music starts, and everybody is. And she said, you just wouldn't believe it. The things that I have seen. But you know what? The Most High has to do this. He has to expose it. because there's so much stuff going on out there that he has to expose this organized religious system, because this has kept us under bondage for so long. It is unbelievable the things that are going on right up under our noses, under the disguise of religion, under the disguise of church. When you understand these things that are happening, our families are trying to hold on for dear life with all they have because this is all they know. But at some point, somebody's going to have to come down to the realization and say that this is not working. It's not working. This is just getting ridiculous. I mean, people, I'm telling you, the Most High told us so. He said this is a day that is going to be a day that has never been nor ever will be. 380 leaders and volunteers busted. It is a breeding ground for pedophiles because all they got to do is come into church. You don't know how many, they put it all over YouTube, how many people in the church are contracting AIDS, syphilis, gonorrhea from each other. And they still feed this malarkey to these women, telling these women, you got to come to church and find your Boaz and God got some. That is a con game. It's a con game. It's not real. And when I listened to it, I was like, oh, my God, this is, but it's got to happen because that's the only way that the Most High can expose it for what it is. He's exposed, and they can sing, and they can preach, and they can pray, but at the end of the day, there is so much filth going on that it's unbelievable the things that are going on right up under our noses. It's terrible. Something else. It really is. We got to pray for our children. You better get to your family members and tell them to watch their children. Watch their children. The priest been abusing the nuns. And it ain't just the Catholic Church. It's the black church. It's the white church. It's all of them. But this is the place where they're walking around with these Bibles on their arm, trying to convince the people that they are preaching about our God, and you know good and well that that's not true. You know good and well that that's not true. I want to play some things for you today. I want you to hear some of the stuff that's going on because this is the time to call your family members. And if not, send them a copy of this because this is some serious business right here that the people don't understand what's really happening right up under our nose. And they are, and it's all coming, all of it is coming out. It's going to be a terrible day. I'm telling you. Yeah. Hold on one moment. I want to get this on here just one second because I want you to hear it from the beginning. Just a second. I'm going to open up my mic. So you can hear it, because I want you to be able to get all of this, because it is some serious stuff. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it, but here we go.
Throughout the world, abused and even held slaves by priests and bishops. Faced with a growing international outcry about the latest scandal to rock the Catholic Church, the Pope could no longer remain silent.
The mistreatment of women is a problem. I would dare to say that humanity has not yet matured. Women are second-class citizens. That's where it starts. It is a cultural problem.
A cultural problem that the Holy See itself isn't immune to. The Vatican has reportedly long known about nuns being sexually abused by priests and done next to nothing to address the matter. It was first publicly acknowledged as a structural issue by the Vatican magazine Women Church World. The church has a great tradition and habit of not seeing women. It thinks they don't exist, they don't count. This is a mentality that is resistant to all changes. And there's another problem. Many of these women have been forced to have abortions with money from the church. Bishops and priests have paid. This is a very bad thing for a church that fights abortion, and this is dramatic. Last year, various media outlets and clerical women's organizations denounced the culture of silence and secrecy that prevented nuns from speaking out. If an abused nun goes to her superior and says that she has suffered abuse, she will be told to shut up, because if you don't, this bishop will turn against us. The power that these bishops and priests have has become truly dreadful. The consequences have been too difficult for them to bear. With more and more abuse cases being brought to light, Pope Francis is now vowing to step up efforts to protect nuns from unwanted sexual advances by clergymen.
I can't say this doesn't happen in my house. It's true. Should something more be done? Yes. Do we have the will? Yes. But it's a path that we've been on for quite some time.
The Pope has asked the faithful to pray for progress on the issue, but many want to see action now, not just words.
And to talk more about this is Martin Gagg, DW's Religious Affairs Analyst. Welcome, Martin. Some really shocking revelations we heard in our report. The Pope is talking about the clergy abusing and raping nuns. What is the scale that we are talking about?
We don't really know, and sort of this merge around one particular case in France, but anecdotal evidence really shows a pattern sort of pretty widespread. There are cases that we know of in India, there are cases that we know of in Latin America, also in Asia. The fact is that we don't know, but, you know, in a sense, I mean, there is no longer a scandal. What we have now is a very, very consistent pattern of sexual abuse, not only at every level, not only at children that were put in the care of the church, but now actually within the very structure of the church against each other and, you know, against nuns that are essentially part of the order. So, you know, we are at the stage in which really I think, you know, I myself following this for a very long time now, I can honestly say that I more or less have run out of outrage. And, you know, it's very hard to say how is it that the church manages to maintain itself without actually making very specific claims as to what policy is that they're going to take.
All right, you guys, hold on. Here we go.
Woo! Lord, have mercy. This is a lot. I mean, this is a lot. It's all coming out. It's all coming out. All of it is coming out. Unbelievable. Anybody have any comments before I get going? Because I ain't stopping today. I got to put it all out there so you guys know what is going on. And this is not no joke right here. This is serious business. And I encourage you, when this is over with, Google this class and send it to your family members, because this place is in an uproar. People don't really realize how bad this is. This is terrible that this is going on. It's like people have gone crazy. They have lost it. It's unbelievable. It is just unbelievable. Hold on. Let me get this here. I'm getting ready to play this one, too. Here we go.
Real 380 Southern Baptist leaders and volunteers accused of sexual misconduct. The Houston Chronicle and San Antonio Press also found that in the past 20 years, more than 700 victims have been abused, with some urged to have abortions and forgive their abusers. The newspaper said included examining. In Texas alone, the newspapers interviewed police and district attorneys in 40 counties. Ultimately, of those 220, 90 remain in prison and 100 are registered sex offenders, according to the report. The investigation comes as other religious bodies, including the Catholic Church, face accusations of widespread sexual abuse of its members, especially children, over decades. Churches are autonomous, but unlike the Catholic Church and other Christian denominations, the Southern Baptist Convention is a collection of 47,000 autonomous churches, with little power to force churches to comply with policies. However, with about 15 million members, the Southern Baptist Convention is the largest Protestant denomination in the United States. In 2013, Southern Baptist leaders passed an on child sexual abuse. The resolution also urged Southern Baptist churches to use background checks, including the Justice Department's database of sexual predators or the Southern Baptist Convention does not maintain its own registry of sexual offenders. In we leader response to reports. Southern Baptist Convention President J.D. Greer, who would say there.
All right, you guys, hold on, I'm coming. Just want to be able to.
And that's the white church. Oh, that's the white church. That's not the black church. That's the white church. Put that together. So we're talking about the white church now. So it's not just the black people. It's the white people, too. They doing it. They molesting their children and having sex with women and forcing themselves on women and making these women, the nuns was being sexually abused in the church and forced to have abortion in the church. Unbelievable. So we on them. So we're going to do a little bit more. I'm going to take you to another one so that you understand it ain't just the white church. It's the black church too. This is a problem, you guys. I'm telling you, this is a problem. We have a serious problem going on with these people and these children. And I think this is the pastor that the pull-up boys was talking about, that they went to his church and they were actually protesting out in front of his church, and they got arrested for this. But I'm gonna play this one for you. Here we go. This is the black church now. Here we go.
Details about a pastor accused of raping a teenager. An investigation is possibly more victims. ABC Action News reporter Clifton French live outside of In My Father's House Baptist Church on East Lake Avenue. And Cliff, you learned that this pastor is also a teacher?
Yeah, this pastor, he's been here, according to parishioners, that he's been here for 6 or 7 years. He's the pastor here, but we're also learning that he's been a teacher with Hillsborough Community College for more than a decade. The details of the case, too disturbing to repeat.
He threatened her not to tell an adult.
The Tampa police report describing a 63-year-old man forcing himself on a teenage girl.
In this case, it seems very clear that that the teen definitely resisted and made it very clear to him that, that what he was doing was wrong.
The man accused is not only the longtime pastor of a local church. David Carson is also a longtime math teacher at Hillsborough Community College, both positions of authority over young people, both now under the microscope of detectives.
We always check into that to see if this is not an isolated circumstance.
Tonight we know the crime he's being charged with didn't happen at the church and did not involve one of his students. While police say there's no evidence that he's done this to anyone else, the investigation tonight continues. I think it's also important to add that another adult did witness at least a part of this alleged attack. Hillsborough Community College, meanwhile, tells me they fired Carson as soon as they discovered this arrest. I'm reporting live in Tampa tonight. Clifton French, ABC Action News.
Stop this.
All right, you guys. So let me see what we got here.
A lot of stories in Greek.
All right. Whew, that's just one. These are the people. These are the people that we're dealing with.
Hallelujah. Praise the mighty God. It is something. I'm telling you, it's a lot to have to deal with. It's a lot. It really is. It's something to see. I'm telling you. They're raping our children. They're doing all kind of stuff. They really are. And we got to get to our family members so our family members will know what's going on. Because it's just unbelievable the things that these people are doing. In the church. In the church. You know, they're just taking advantage of people and children. Unbelievable. And you got to be able to watch, take care of the babies. Because if you don't watch over them, they're going to just be taken advantage of. Hold on, here we got one more. They short and sweet, but here we go. Here we go. Hold on just a moment. I got to get this out here.
Take a good look at the screen right now. Roosevelt County Deputy says this man right here, he's a church pastor, sexually battered a girl for the last 6 years.
You never know if he's up to anyone else. ABC Action News reporter Michael Belusco spoke to the church's executive director just a short time ago and has the late-breaking details out there. Michael?
Wendy, they are extremely concerned. As you can imagine, that pastor worked here at Bethel Farm Worker Ministries for the past 3 years. Let's take a look and show you the mugshot that we just received of 59-year-old Walter Chukimia. He is charged with 3 counts of sexual battery. Hillsborough County investigators say he admitted to several of the crimes going all the way back to 2011. Investigators say one of the crimes was committed against the now 17-year-old victim as recently as Monday. He was taken into custody yesterday. The executive director of the church says it appears at this point that no abuse took place here or that anyone with the church was affiliated in this crime. But as Hillsborough County investigators told us late this afternoon, they are still looking for possible alleged victims in this case. If anyone had any interactions with this pastor that you think was inappropriate, you are urged to call the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. We're live here in Waimama tonight. Michael Palooza, ABC Action News.
Thank you for the time. The story that got attention around the world. This story was about a little girl no one even knew existed. Neighbors were aware of.
Hold on a minute. Let me stop this one because I don't want to talk about this one yet.
This is a lot going on. They messing with our children. I told you guys that the kids was going to be next. I told you.
I said
they're
going to
start messing with the children next. And it's going to be a problem. And we have arrived there. So, I mean, you know, this is and in the black church, don't think it's isolated because it's not. I was just listening to a story where the pastor was up over the pulpit talking about he was struggling. And wait a minute, and the one pastor joined this church, and the man took him under as a spiritual father, and they were having a picnic at the house, and he took the pastor's son to the store and raped him in the back seat of the car, a 10-year-old boy, and threatened if he told anybody he would kill him. And the boy told on him, and they arrested him and put him in jail. This is what we look. You better thank God. You better thank y'all. You really better. But we all have to watch our children because these predators are out there and they hang. And it's in Israel too. Don't think it's not in Israel. It's in Israel too. We got some sexual predators in Israel too. You know, and these are the things that we have to make our family members aware of, you know, because this is the kind of stuff that we have to be careful of and watch. Watch the teachers. Watch some of the family members. Say it again. Watch some of the family members. Let me say it one more time. Watch some of your family members. Teachers, pastors, deacons, whomever. And they're not after little girls no more. They like boys and girls. So I just wanted to put that out there. I don't want this to be about the whole show, but I wanted to just put that out there to let you guys know this is some serious stuff. And it's not normal, but these people are doing this, and it's in droves. They pass the sexual diseases to each other in the church. In the church. You know, and knowingly have it. Hold on, let me get this one up. I want to make sure we get this one on here, too. Hold on just a minute. I'm going to make sure we get this one.
A veteran led our accusing a local man of having sex with him and not telling him he was HIV positive. One of the local women says she now has HIV. And police in Cleveland
Wayne County and Atlanta have charged the man in both cases. R.J. Watson has been working this story and joins us with more. Hey, Jay.
Hey there, DeMarco. His name is Craig Davis, and he's been charged with reckless conduct by a person infected with HIV. Davis was in jail in Fulton and Clayton counties for 3 weeks, and tonight he's out on $30,000 bond. The story was broken by a local blogger who knows one of the alleged victims and Davis.
And there he is, somewhat of a ladies' man, is how he's describing. He says,
William McCray says he told Craig Davis he was writing a blog about him, and in just 3 days it has blown up. The story is that early this summer, two women who didn't know each other went to police alleging Craig Davis slept with them, alleging he had HIV and didn't tell them. Police investigated Davis, and 2 months later, he was arrested in Fulton and Clayton counties, charged with reckless conduct by a person infected with HIV.
They are really upset that he did not give them the opportunity to make the decision as to whether or not they would want to move forward and be sexually involved with him.
One 46-year-old alleged victim in Atlanta told police she was abstinent for 15 years until she began dating Davis. At her yearly checkup, the doctor advised her she tested positive for HIV. The alleged victim in Clayton County told police that the man she'd been having sex with recently told her he has HIV. In the police report, the victim says Davis told her, with HIV, you can still live, and it's not the end. The woman also told police Davis was a pastor at a big church, and when she asked him why he didn't tell her, he advised because the Lord had told him to be still. We made contact with one of the women in the case. She did not want to comment. So far, she has tested negative for HIV. Now, there was a Metro Atlanta church mentioned in the blog, and that one of the women worked there with Davis. Our calls to that church were not returned, but Craig Davis called us today to tell us he's not a member of that church and never has been. Davis said several times he did not want us to report he was a member there. Well, we asked him how he felt about the charges against him, and we wanted to say about that, he referred us to his attorney. His attorney has not returned our call.
Oh, well, there you have it. In the church, they pass the HIV to each other in the church. I'm, woo, this is too much. I mean, you know, it's just a lot going on. It is a lot. Pastor sentenced to 10 years for not informing his women that he was his HIV status. The pastor. HIV positive pastor arrested for spreading the virus. Spot on. Unbelievable. Pastor admits to having AIDS after years of sleeping with his church members. Can you imagine? The pastor is, this is the church. This is the place where the people don't want to come out of. I ain't never heard of such. Lord, have mercy. They did. I'm telling you. Pastor, South Carolina pastor arrested for strangling pregnant woman at church. Unbelievable. That's what they deal with. Pastor knowingly exposing HIV to women in his church. This one say ratchet pastor admits that he has full-blown AIDS and knowingly infected women in his church. The pastors. Unbelievable. The pastors. This is where we are. And they hold that Bible and they got that cloak on and they doing what they doing, and it is unbelievable the things that is going on. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. They doing this to their own parishioners while they making them pay them at the same time. It's unreal. We got to keep talking, sisters and brothers. We got to keep talking. Hold on. I'm going to play this one for you because this is the Brother on the Advice Show. Because he have a lot of this stuff on his show, but I wanted to get the news clipping. That's what I wanted. Hold on one moment.
advised show, media with a common sense approach. So that was a pastor that got in trouble with the law because he slept with women outside of his marriage, but he was HIV positive, did not tell the women at all that he was HIV positive. Let me go ahead and roll the clip.
Some women lashed out in court against a pastor accused not only of having extramarital affairs, but of failing to tell the women he is HIV positive. Craig Davis faced a judge for sentencing today, and Fox 5's Doug Evans was in that courtroom in Clayton County. One of the victims was here in Clayton County Court. She says Craig Davis, a minister she trusted, ruined her life and the lives of many more women, women he never told that he was HIV positive.
It has been an ongoing nightmare, ongoing. I've woken up out of my sleep with anxiety, uncontrollable shakes, thinking that I was HIV positive.
Craig Davis, an Atlanta minister, had denied everything, the sex outside his marriage, the status of HIV positive, but a Clayton County jury convicted him this week of two counts of reckless HIV, a felony. One of the church women who says she had unprotected sex with Davis told the judge in this sentencing hearing that she's the one serving a life sentence, even though she has tested negative for HIV.
My smiles are empty, my laughs are empty, my hellos are empty, my hugs, kisses, touches are empty.
The prosecutor painted the pastor as unrepentant, and when it comes to unprotected sex, unstoppable, and refused to say four words. I am HIV positive.
Like we argued, this is not somebody you can look up on your sex offender registry. This is somebody you have to rely on to tell you four simple words. And it's a death sentence for many of the women who do contract the virus.
And then right before the judge was to pass sentence, Craig Davis took the stand in a last-minute plea for mercy. He would say, yes, he's HIV positive. Yes, he had unprotected sex and failed to tell the women of his status. And yes, it was wrong.
I take full responsibility for everything that has gone on. My heart truly goes out to her daughters. Bad decision, very, very bad decision. I opened the door for a lot of people to be hurt.
The minister was already a convicted felon for cocaine possession. When he gets out of prison in 10 years, if he contacts one of these victims or if he commits another crime, he'll go back to prison for an additional 10 years. In Clayton County, Doug Evans, Fox 5 News.
I don't know what to say. This is the church. If I did this, I could do this all night, and we would run past the time. That's how bad it is. It's the church, the place where the people don't want to come out of. It's the church, the pastors. They raping the kids. They passing diseases to each other. They closeted homosexuals. I don't even want to bring that on here. Because if I was, I'd be like, Lord, have mercy. It's tough. The church. This is the church. The hallelujah. The place where everybody goes to shout. The place where everybody goes to do the things that they go to do. Oh, I ain't finished yet. I ain't nowhere near finished. I ain't finished. I just wanted to stop there to make a comment, but I ain't nowhere near finished. Because I want you to play this, I really do. Because I could talk about a whole lot of things, but we need to know what's going on around us for real. And that ain't no joke. This is the church. Hold on. Here we go again. I'm going to let you hear it.
Here we go. The Advice Show, media with a common sense approach. So there's a pastor at a Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. In Montgomery, Alabama, he made an announcement in church. And his announcement wasn't about prayer meeting or revival. His announcement was that he had the AIDS and that he slept with women in the church, even inside the church. That is a sin and a shame, literally. Let me roll the clip.
One Demetrius McFarland did not hold back when he revealed to worshipers at Shiloh Baptist Church on September 14th that he contracted HIV in 2003 and discovered in 2008 he had AIDS.
The church was very accepting of Reverend McFarland. They were willing to help him in any way possible.
But once the pastor with 23 years of leadership started revealing more and more on the following Sundays, members and leaders say they realized McFarland had crossed the line. In a resolution read aloud at church, leaders shared, and Pastor McFarland confirmed to us, he admitted drug use, mishandling church funds, and what members say was the ultimate shocker, described by church deacon Nathan Williams Jr.
Of this church that he had knowingly engaged in adultery in the church building with female members of Shallow Missionary Baptist Church while knowingly that he had an age.
This past Sunday, McFarland was removed as church pastor. Still, church members say some congregation members are afraid to come forward, and many are concerned.
Who does this to people? And you're the leader. Who does this? I know a lady who is a member of the church who said she had slept with him and that she didn't want this to go public. And, you know, she's running out now trying to find out, you know, if there's anything wrong with her. And my heart goes out to her because she's been a wonderful, wonderful member of the church.
Deacon Williams says in his 70 years at the church, this is the biggest scandal the church has ever experienced. Williams says leaders have obtained legal counsel and is now focused on moving the church forward.
Our move is going to come directly from the council. We want peace. And we want to do the right thing legally. We're not looking to hurt him. We're looking to get the church back. And I'm thinking to get the church back. We want to get the church back. That's it.
But some members say they want justice.
I believe that he should be put on court, and let the judge decide if he should go to jail or
not. This man. All right, here we go. I could play it all night. That's how bad it is, y'all. I could play it all night from all over the country. This is what's going on. Anybody got anything to say? I stop playing because I can go all night. And this is where we are. This is what we're up against. And you know what? Because people are so comfortable with this and because they're so comfortable with the lifestyle that they live in, they don't want to walk away from this stuff. This is something that they're dealing with, and they don't want to leave. And they know this stuff is going on, and they're not saying nothing. You know? And this is pretty bad that we're living in this society, but the Most High told us it was going to get like this. He told us that it was going to get like this. But you know what's so sad is the people, our children and our family members that's out there in them streets and all churches, all they know, and when they finally get tired of doing what they're doing and they want to give them their life over to the Most High, they come in there thinking that that's what they're going to find. And then when they come in there, they're shocked because what's supposed to be there is not there. And they don't realize that it was never there in the first place. And it's really hard to deal with. It is. It's a lot to deal with. But you know what? The Most High has got to do this. He got to break this stuff down. And you know what's going to happen after this? And I hope you guys are ready. But they're getting ready to create a one-world religion. That's why they're exposing all this stuff. Guess what? The mama, the mother of all the churches is allowing the cover to be pulled off of all of this stuff. Because it ain't going to be no more little secular churches anymore. It's not going to be no more denominations anymore. They get ready to go into a one-world religion. They're going to say, this ain't working. Protestant is not working. We get ready to go into a one-world religion where we all going to be worshiping together. And we're going to create a peace and a utopia where we can all do this together. And the mess ain't going to stop. It's still going to be there. Nothing is going to stop. It's going to remain to be there. But they got to expose it so that people will look for something else. Individual organized religion. They don't want that no more. They want everybody to come up under one banner. And it's going to be one man who brings a solution to put an end to all of this stuff. Do you see the prophecy coming to pass? Can you see it? And we got to keep talking. We got to keep on living it. You know, like my uncle said, though, he said, you don't never have to wear no advertisement. Just live it. Because the moment you start living it, they watching. They watching everything you say. They watching everything you do. They watching. And we're going to be the group that won't go into that. We can't do that. I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to do that. So, I mean, you know, it's just something. I'm telling you, it's something to be able to see the state of it, but it has to, I guess it's got to get to this point. Because how else will they question why it ain't working? Because that should be your first question. Why does it not work the way the Bible said that it's supposed to work? And when they question that and they go before the Most High, then and only then will he be able to tell them, because it wasn't never supposed to work in the first place. I told you that you was going to be made to serve other gods of wood and of stone. And you know what, and all we can do is continue to keep living what we live in. And when they come ready to ask us a question, we be ready to give an answer. They said women are marrying men that they know are homosexuals because they don't want to be alone in the church. So they're putting up this facade when they know that these men like men. You know, so it's a lot going on. It's a lot. I don't like to point fingers, you know, but the Church of God in Christ, oh, my goodness, they said it's really bad. And Bishop Mason started that church. He knew we was Israelites when he started that. He knew we were. And this is what it has come to. It's a bad place to be. It's bad. It really is. And you know, we gotta continue to pray for our brothers and sisters, because it's only you gotta have a law for people to live by. People need to know what's right and what's wrong. If you leave it up to people and make their own decision as to what's right and what's wrong, anything and everything will go. We just pulled out the demographic of how many states allow sex with animals. That is not, it's a misdemeanor in some states, and it's legal in others. But when you have a law that you live by, then you have something to say that even though all these other nations do this, the Most High gave his people a law that we need to live by so that we don't get caught up in the things that they were doing. Because that is exactly why we got it. He told us why. He told us exactly why he wanted us to keep, that he put that law on us. You know? We gotta understand that. We got to understand exactly what the Most High was trying to tell us in the scriptures. When he told them, what did he say? He said, don't do what they do. I don't want you to do what they do. He said, all the things that I was telling you, he said, is what these people did that was on this land. He said, this is exactly what the other nations that was on this land did before I gave you the land. I don't want you to do what they do. I want you to keep my laws and my statutes and my commandments. He covered it all. Here it is. This is Leviticus chapter 20. Let me go down to the verse because I want to read it to you so you'll know that I'm just talking. This is Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22. After he laid down that you're not supposed to sleep with your mother, you're not supposed to have sex with your daughter, you're not supposed, he covered everything when it came to those sexual sins. He said, verse 22, he said, you shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land where I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. So the land has a power to do that as well. He said, and you shall not walk in the manner of the nations which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhor them. He said the nations that was in there before you, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Zizzites, and all of the ites, They were doing all that kind of stuff. He said, but I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. He said, I am the Most High, your Elohim, which has separated you from other people. So we got to be different from everybody else. He said, and you shall therefore put a difference between clean beasts and unclean, between unclean fowl and clean. And ye shall not make your soul abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. So all that stuff about, oh, you can eat anything and bless it, no, that's not true neither. He said, and ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Most High, am holy, and have severed you from other people that you should be mine. He said, a man or a woman that have a familiar spirit that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. The Most High said, I called you, Israel, to be my people. I have separated you from all the other people. And all the things that you have read in this chapter is what those other people did. He said, don't do what they do. He said, I hated them for what they was doing. The land put them out. He said, I cast them off the land because I didn't want them on here doing this. So we have to separate ourselves and not do what everybody else does. Hold on, let me open up the mic. Area code 513, your mic is open. Go ahead, you're on the air. 513, Sister Lavia? We can't
shalom,
hear you.
Shalom, shalom, sis. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you now. Yeah.
Okay. I was just wanting to weigh in because, you know, the more we keep seeing things, the more it should begin to be understood on how much we need the law. We have to have it. Because right now you're looking at everything just unraveling and chaos. Mm-hmm. You can see it ensuing. You can see where it's going to go. You know, everything is going out of order. And the tenacity that we have as a people, you know, we have to put that into a context to where we can keep that law regardless, no matter what. You know, we have to put that into the atmosphere. We have to be able to do that. We have to come back to who we are supposed to be because this place is going to need it. Without the law, it's done. I mean, there is no future for us or our children or just like that. I mean, we have to. Somebody, and I'm glad he chose us as a nation unto himself because now I begin to understand, you know, what he's trying to say, what he wants from us, what we, you know, because if we looked at this 2 years ago, we might not have been able to see it, but now. You can see it so much more as to how important we are in the grand scheme of all of this and how important, it, you know, being able to have something to where your children can grow up and abide by. We have to teach our children. We have to be that people. We have to be that nation because they don't have no laws. It's lawless. You can see it.
Yes, it is. It's
and when you talk about all the stuff that's going on, all the stuff that's going on in the church, you can see you get if you are still on the fence. I mean, it should start feeling disgusting up in there of all the things
it
that
do.
You're looking at. And and you know when you look at the other option that they you know may want to present is that Scientology. That's a whole nother monster, you know. But you can see where all of this is going, you know. We should be at a point now to where we can sit down and understand what the Most High is requesting of him and being able to abide in his laws. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Thank you so much for your comment. For sure. You know, and where there's no law, you know, the people are not what's going to govern them, you know, and they have passed laws. You know, that whole make America great again and all of that is crazy, you know, because you got to understand we're dealing with the Most High.
And no, we don't expect them to know him the way we know him. And no, we don't expect them to do the things that we do. But we have to do them, you know. And I remember when I was talking to one of the princes of Dimona, was over in Dimona, and when all the scandal came out about Dimona and how the kids was being raped over there and Israelite kids was being raped by some of the Israelites. And then I asked him, I said, well, what law did you use to govern the people? And he was like, we didn't have one. Well, what did you expect? What did you expect that was going to happen? It's supposed to be a village of peace, and when the story got out, it was a village of horror, complete horror, because you know why? Everybody, every man did what they wanted to do. And that is exactly what this is getting ready to come to. I know you guys can see it. You'd have to be a blind man not to be able to see this. This is getting ready to become a free-for-all. Whatever you feel like doing, you can do. And that's why he gave us the law. That's exactly why he gave us the law, so that we would know that, you know? That's why I read to you all last week from 2 Ezra chapter 5. Well, he said he picked he has a special bird, and he has a special people that he has called to himself, and that he gave this people a law. That's what this is all about, that we know not to do what the other nations have done, don't do what they do, that we don't do that, that we live by a certain code. That is our code right there, that law right there. Because if you leave it up to me, guess what? The heart is evil above all else, and who can know it? And anytime something drops into your mind, before you know it, oh, I wonder what that's like, and you do that. It's only the law that keeps us from doing it. No, I ain't going to mess up with y'all's law. I'm not going to do that. So I ain't going to be able to do that. I'm going to make sure that I keep that law. Because there's consequences that come with breaking that law. Consequences. And that's what we have to understand. And it doesn't make anything perfect. No, it doesn't make anything perfect. And we do have grace and mercy that will help us get through it. But still, at the same time, we know what not to do. He said, I gave that to you for you to know what not to do. He said, the other nations, I'm so glad we read it too, the other nations that was here before you did all these things. He said, and I abhorred them. He said, I hated them. That's what abhor means. I hated them. He said, so when I put you here and I give it to you, I want you to understand how blessed you are, that I'm giving this land to you. But don't mistreat the land either. Because the land even belongs to me. And that's why we got put off the land in the first place. But when we didn't keep the Sabbath like we were supposed to. You know? Exactly why we were supposed to let the land rest. And we did not do it. So guess what? We spent all them years in Babylon, and 70 years in Babylon, so to allow the land to rest. Because the land is even spiritual. It's in 2 Ezra chapter 5, verse 27. He says, and among all the multitude of people, thou hast gotten thee one people, and unto this people whom thou lovest, thou gavest a law that is approved of all. So he said, and now, O Yah, why hast thou given this one people over unto many? And upon one root hast thou prepared others, and why hast thou scattered the only one people among many? And he goes in to say, because we were punished because we didn't keep the law. Well, we can't be in captivity and break it once we know what it is. He gave us this. That's why it's so important. It is important to be governed. The law was there to govern us. Area code 540, your mic is open. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Two things. One, I put the Christians, they keep yelling that y'all, I mean, that God loves everybody. Two, that's why First Chronicles 7:14 is so important, because Yah's law is his character.
Yes, it is. Yes, sir.
You know, and yes, you know, when you violate that, you're going to be punished. Of course, he warns you.
Yes, sir.
I mean, warning after warning after warning, pleading after pleading after pleading, just like a parent would trying to tell his or her child, or a parent's telling their child, you keep doing what you're doing, this is what is going to happen to you. You keep slipping in darkness, into darkness, you're going to get it. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
And people go on, and they think that, just like the ancient Israelites, they thought that they were going on, they could do what they did, because they said, well, Abraham is our father. No, y'all could go on and raise the rocks, and they'll be Abraham's sons, rather than those people. And it's like, come on, people. I mean, you know, this is the reason why we cannot go anywhere, because we don't get along with each other fully. You know, I mean, you know, you got one who is an Israelite, you got another one who is a Muslim, you got another one who is a Christian, you got another one who is an atheist, and yet we're at war. We're at war, and not because of the laws that we have broken back in the past with our forefathers, as well as with us today. I'm just sick of it. I really am. Very much sick of it. And this mess about, you know, the pastors that are out there having sex with these children. I mean, I can understand if it's going to be an adult, because the adult can make a decision as to yay or nay. Even though pastors out there that take advantage of people, especially children, because they're in a position of authority and in a position of trust, they violate both of them.
Yep.
They violate both of them. And also enough teaching, there's not enough teaching on the Levitical laws.
They don't believe they have to keep them. They don't believe they have to keep them. They've been told that they're Gentiles and they don't have to keep the law.
Exactly. And that's why a lot of Gentiles go ahead on and they get themselves into trouble. And then they wonder 40 years later, what happened to me? Where did I go wrong at? Why am I in this predicament? And then they go see a shrink. Why? Because they trusted man rather than trusting Yah. And not needing Yah's word from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And then particularly when you get to those Levitical laws. I'm sorry to be going for so long, but this really bothers me. Because I want to go home. My wife and I, we are sick of this place.
Me too. Me too. Me too. I think everybody on this one. Can you imagine this woman was celibate and abstinent for 15 years? She was abstinent for 15 years. 15 years,
wow.
Completely clean and abstinent. And met this knucklehead. But, you know, like I said before, when we were talking about Magic Johnson, I said the same thing. You know, when he came out with his status years ago, we were young. We were taking chances with people. That could have been me, because I took some chances with some people. But when that came out and he exposed his status, it made everybody start thinking that people are not fair. Mm-hmm. People are not honest. People feel like somebody did it to me, I'm going to do it to you. And it's partly her fault, too. Because if you were going to do that, the least you could have did was protect yourself. But because you trusted somebody and you wasn't supposed to be doing nothing in the first place, look at what happened.
Yeah, and that's because the churches were not talking about asking and saving themselves for marriage. And that marriage bed is honorable between a husband and a wife.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I mean,
she took a chance with him, he gave it to her, and you know she was HIV positive. I can't imagine. The one time that she did it, And she went to the doctor. They came back and said, I'm sorry, but you're HIV. I can't imagine the devastation that the lady had to feel.
I remember I was at a place. I was at a place where a guy who was married to a woman, and she messed around up on him, and he did not do that to her, and come to find out, she wound up giving them HIV.
Oh my goodness! See
her husband.
See that's
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You look at that situation, and you thank God for it not being you, because it could have been. It could have been. We took chances. When we were young, we did some stupid stuff. Everybody had. And trusted when you shouldn't have, you know?
And the thing is that when people do stuff, it's not like they're purposely going out there going to get HIV. HIV is a man-made designed disease to take out a certain population. That's all there is to it. So it's not like, you know, deep going on, you know, out there on purpose for I'm looking for HIV. No, they're not.
No.
They're out there looking for pleasure. But unfortunately, they're not following God's laws, statutes, and also His commandments. And this is the reason why, we get caught with either a disease or worse.
Yeah. That's true. It's just unfortunate. You know, we gotta educate our children. We gotta educate our family members. We really have to educate our people, because if not, I'm telling you, the enemy is out there to steal, kill, and to destroy. Eric Cole 513, your mic is open. I'm gonna leave your mic open, sir, if you want to interject. Eric Cole 513, your mic is open. Olivia, we can't hear you.
Since I just wanted to share something, you know, when we're talking about those former days and everything, and I remember growing up and, you know, being a teenager and everything and being in school and stuff, and it was really when, you know, the girls were really starting to, you know, experiment with each other and wanting to, you know, experiment with kissing each other and all that stuff. And, you know, since I was so afraid, because it was before I was in the understanding, but I knew in reading that book, I knew it was wrong. And I knew, I said, I do not want to have to answer for that. I know that that's not okay with the Most High. I know it.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to. I'm afraid to even try something like that. It's not even, you know, but having to be able to stand on your own and knowing, you know, being fearful of the Most High, but not necessarily having other people around you that share the same thought process, it feels so lonely. It feels like you go up under so much persecution to be able to just stand in the line. But
you do.
Overall, you gain so much strength. You gain so much strength through Him, through His Word, and comfort in reading the Bible and understanding where He's coming from, the reason why He wanted us to be set apart. I mean, I was terrified in fear as to what was going to happen to them, but more so what would happen to me, you know, to cross that line, because I knew that that was wrong. And I'm not even finna go there. If it meant that I got to be by myself, I'm not finna go there, because I do not want to have to answer to the Most High for that. And if people had more fear in their heart, but they have to understand it. They have to get there, you know, and understanding what the fear is about. And it's the beginning of wisdom. And I understand it. I understand it so much more now, looking at what we're looking at now, how when you get on that train of exploring and doing what everybody else is doing, how it leads you to a dead end, and that therefore
it's
death. You know, and we can't get down like that. We can't be like everybody else. You know, there's a lot of things, and everybody want to come on this class and listen, and you know, and then turn it off, and then go back to their life. But we have to start in the fear of the Most High. Or what? I'm not even playing with that. Anybody want to come with that? I don't understand how they want to even go there. But you know, I'm not finna play with that, because I fear the Most High. I'm not even finna go there with him. You know, even to this day.
And that spirit is out there tough. I mean, that whole experimenting spirit is out there really tough. And that's why I say we're there now because we're adults and we know better. But you got these kids out here that's being maneuvered and being lured into things unaware and being manipulated into things that we have to be able to educate our children on just dealing with the enemy alone and being able to fight the enemy. Like, no, we ain't going to do all that. No, I ain't going. No.
And being okay to stand in what you believe in. You have to be able to do that.
You better. Because you know that the wages of sin is death. Now we understand. If you break that law, guess what sin is? Sin is the transgression of the law. So the wages of sin is death. So when you break that law, you look for the consequences. You know, I looked at a picture of Eddie Long. I looked at a picture of Eddie Long today. And I looked at Eddie Long when he was in his prime. And I looked at Eddie Long when the Most High passed judgment. And it was looking at night and day. The man looked like skin and bone. He really did. I said, you know, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the Almighty, because he don't play that kind. And people think they're hiding. You know, and that's the thing, is that people think they are hiding. And you can't. Let me tell y'all something. If I'm saying something, y'all don't never hear my voice again. The Most I see it all. You can't hide nothing from him at all. And when the time comes for you to be able to get judged for the things you've done, you ain't gonna be able to escape that. That man, y'all need to Google it and just say Eddie Long then and Eddie Long before. He don't even look like himself. He had lost so much weight. He didn't even, the man looked like two totally different people. And I was like, oh my goodness. What in the world is wrong with him? Because I saw him losing weight. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what is? But when it was all over, he didn't even look like himself. He did. That's why I said, this is time to repent now. It ain't no time for no foolishness now. It ain't nothing that there's nothing that society can give us but mess. There's nothing else they have that they can offer us but mess. And it is time to cut ties and get ready to repent. And repent all the way up until we come together as a nation to repent. You know, and it's terrible. My nephew went to the penitentiary for 6 months, and I remember we drove up and we went and got him. When he got in the car, he ain't a talker, but when he got in the car, he started talking. He was like, "Andy, you ain't gonna believe what's going up in them penitentiaries." I was like, "Please," so he said, "Man." He said, these guys got beautiful wives. They got pictures of their wives all over the place. He said, but they running behind these white boys and they having sex with these white boys. He said, that's all you see all day long, is they running behind them and having sex with them. He said, it's so bad it don't even make no, it's terrible. I said, he said, man, it ain't no joke. It's a mess. There's nothing positive that this society has to offer, but if the church is like that, and that's supposed to be the place where you can go find refuge, what else is it? How does anything else have anything to offer?
Right.
I'm just asking, because, I mean, you know, because like I said, when I got tired of being out there and doing what I was doing, I ran to the church because that's all I knew. I ran and I fell down at that altar and I repented and I asked the Most High to forgive my sins and do all the things that I was supposed to do. I did the stuff that I thought was the right thing to do. But can you imagine a drug dealer or a show enough player coming out of the streets and going into that and seeing all that going on? He'd be like, well, look, I might as well go back and do what I was doing. They doing that out there. They doing the same thing in the streets, so what's the difference? But you know what? Our family members keep on holding on to it, and they keep holding on to it because that's all they know. And then we the ones they call a cult. Really? Really? Because not everybody over here pretty content. The only thing we're dealing with is we're ready to go, but we ain't got no issues like that. When you really keep his law, statutes, and commandments, he said, if you do them, you shall live in them.
Hallelujah.
But the world wants to make you, the world, I learned a long time ago, the world wants to make you think you're missing something. And see, I was like that. Every time the light flashed, I wanted to be over there and see what they were doing. And then when I got over there, I was just looking around like, this is it? Where's that looking? This ain't what it looked like from a distance. Y'all had the lights flashing and the band playing and and I wanted to know what was going on. But when I got over there, it is never what it's up to be. It never is. And that's what we have to be able to tell our children. No matter how much it shines, no matter how much it glitters, no matter how much it talks back to you, no matter how much it dance in front of you on your kitchen table, it is never what it's cracked up to be. Only what you do for y'all is going to last. That's it. All the rest of it is sinking sand. You just never what it's cracked up to be. And when you understand the magnitude of the filth, and the magnitude of the debauchery, and the magnitude of the uncleanliness, and all of a sudden, you just be like, Lord, just let me go home and shut the door. This is something I'm telling you. We got to keep on living what we talk, and we got to keep on doing it because they're watching, because they can't be happy. They can't be doing all that and not getting no results and be happy. It don't work like that. They can't be. Everybody watching while they're calling us a cult, they watching. And then they ask questions, what you be doing on the Sabbath? That's when you know they watching. That's when you know they watching. Well, what y'all be doing on the Sabbath? Well, tell me more about it. Because they can't be, because it's the same mess. It's the same mess on the street as it is in the church. It is. It ain't no different. You know, it really ain't no different. Everybody putting on a performance. The performance goes, the performance starts. The curtain go up and the music starts and here we go. And people paying for the performance. You know, they are. And the unfortunate part about that is they're going to keep on paying until the Most High open up their eyes and make you see that it's just a performance. Because the one thing I know about God is he don't have to do nothing. He don't have heal you. He don't have deliver you. When he delivers you, you're done. You're delivered. You don't need no medicine, no doctor, no nothing. And we're not there yet because we're still in captivity. And I can promise you there ain't no other nation working in his power. I can promise you that. I just read to you in 2 Ezra chapter 5, I think it's verse 27, where he said he chose one people unto himself. And he gave that one people a law. And these are the people that he loved. And I can promise you there ain't no other nation working in that power, not that one right there. You won't let it happen. So that ain't going to never work. It's never been designed to work. You know, but we got to understand that. And that's why, again, he's allowing it to break down. He's breaking it right on down, right in front of your face. Not only that, he's breaking down the economy. He's breaking down the nation. He's breaking down the religious system. He's breaking it all the way down. The prison institution, the educational institution, he's breaking all that stuff down. Because some people really hold that at very high esteem. They do. They hold that at very high esteem. And they believe that this is something to be able to do that. So, I mean, you know, it's just we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of prayers and the people to pray for, our family members, our young people, our young brothers and sisters that's coming out of college. You know, we got to be able to pray for them. because they got to go into that mean, ugly world. And we already know what it's about. They don't. You know? To go into one of these corporate jobs with a degree and think that merit is going to get you promoted. And they expect you to sleep your way to the top. Uh-uh, we don't do that. They got to be able to prepare them for that. Mm-mm. You know, I don't know what the Most High going to do for the brothers that's locked up. I don't know what he's going to do for them. You know, I don't know. He said he's going to open up the prison doors and let them out. I hope he does. I really do. Whew, it's just so much. I mean, we're just a nation that has just been plundered. I mean, to the point. You know, he said everybody that found us plundered us. Everybody that came close to us did us in. Because they could. And they said, we do nothing wrong. We don't offend. We don't offend. What did he say? We offend not. You know? In other words, you guys messed up. Y'all left y'all's God. I remember that's what the lady told me in the parking lot of Walmart. And when I was telling her we was the Israelites, and she tried to deny it, and when she figured out she couldn't stop me, the next thing that came out of her mouth was, well, you all was the ones that turned your back on God. She said that. She said, you all was the ones that turned your back on God, on your God. You know? And she said, that's why y'all, in other words, that's why you in the mess that you're in right now. I said, but since it still ain't real, all that stuff you're doing, that ain't real. No? But. You know, we teach and we talk and we pray and we know we're going to keep on doing it. We're going to keep on doing it. You know, but we have to prepare ourselves because this ain't no joke. This is not no joke. You know. It's just not, it's not no joke. It's some serious stuff going on. And even though your family don't understand it, keep doing it anyway. If your husband or wife don't understand it, keep praying for them anyway. And you go, and you know, you do it the best you can to put them in the Most High's hands. You know? But that's all you can do. All you can do is pray. That's all you can do. You can't do nothing else but pray. You know? That's all you can do is pray for them. It ain't gonna be too much more else after that, cause everybody gonna make they gonna make a choice, or guess what? Are the choices gonna be made for them? Cause some of them gonna just have to plain old reap, and it ain't nothing you can do about that. There's nothing you can do about it. That's why we encourage repentance. Repent. Keep repenting every day when you wake up. Repent. But like she said, she knew it was wrong. She knew it was wrong. When they trying to lure you into certain behaviors and stuff, you know it's wrong. That's why we ain't got to tell nobody about what's right or wrong. It's written in our DNA. Right before we get ready, when we thinking about it, we know it's wrong. I was going to say right before you get ready to do it, but it start happening before you get ready to do it. When you thinking about it, you know it's wrong. The Most High wrote that into our DNA. Before we even knew what the law was, we knew that was wrong. No. It's too much at stake. It's just way too much at stake. And I don't want to keep you on for too much longer. We're going to stay on for about 5 more minutes because I usually end about 8. But, you know, I wanted to share this with you today. I had to. And like I said, we could still be listening to clips and going on and on. It's mess. And, you know, our poor little church, oh, my goodness, the Pentecostal church, they just be trying to hold on. The Pentecostal churches of the apostate be holding on, and they just be preaching their little heart out as hard as they possibly can. These people be speaking in tongues. I remember I was driving up, coming home from somewhere. I don't know where I was going, but I was coming home, and there was a car accident. This guy was driving so fast that he hit the pole, And I think, I don't know how it happened, but when I drove past him, the car was on top of it. The car was lodged into the pole, and he was under the car. And I remember slowing down because everybody was, you know, trying to help him, and they was waiting till the cops came. And he was laying on the ground speaking in tongues. And, you know, everybody was just letting him do what he was doing. I just rolled. I didn't say nothing. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. You know, and I think later on he passed away, you know, because, I mean, you know, but it's just, you know, we just got to do better. We just got to do better. The things that they have introduced us to, that's not the way that Yah wants us to conduct ourselves. The things that the Caucasian nation and the other nations have preached to us, nobody can preach to Israel but Israel. Because all of Paul tells you that the adoption is ours, the covenants belong to us, the service of the Most High is ours. He tells you all of that stuff. And as long as we're imitating, we don't know what Yah can do yet because we haven't experienced him. And like I said, all of us have testimonies of things that have happened that seem to be miraculous, but Yah don't have to do nothing. He don't have to. He don't need a doctor to do nothing. When he get ready to do it, it's going to be done. And ain't nobody going to take the credit for it. He don't share his glory with nobody. And I don't knock the doctors. Don't get me wrong. I don't knock the doctors. The doctors is the doctors. I don't knock the doctors. I'm just saying, when Yah heals you, you completely heal. I was watching a documentary about the children of Israel. And when they were on their way to Egypt, they said, no, nobody got tired. The old people or the young people. Yah gave all of them energy to be able to make the walk. Their shoes didn't even get old. Their clothes didn't get old. This is who we serve. Somebody would be like, well, how is it possible that the fabric didn't wear out? All the temperature changes and the weather changing and all that. How is it possible that they walked for 40 years and the soles of their shoes didn't wear out? That's not possible. I got a pair of tennis shoes over there now that the soles don't look like they looked when I first bought them. The soles of their shoes didn't wear out, and their clothes didn't look old. That tweed coat lasted for 40 years. That's the God we serve. And then people hear a flutter, and they get to shouting and screaming. He don't do that. When he come on the scene, you're going to know he here. The whole atmosphere is going to change. People going to go to running and hiding because they know they've been doing evil. But we ain't seen him yet, but we about to in a minute. We got 7 more months. A few days away from we're going to have 6 more months left. So I just wanted to share that with you today to let you know that you ain't missing nothing. For some of you all that's come out of the church and you feel like a daddy, at least over there, at least we were just, you ain't missing nothing. It's mess going on. You ain't missing nothing. We're on our way home, and that's what we got to focus on. We are on our way out of here, and we got to trust y'all on that. And on that note, I want to say thank you so much for joining us this evening. I hope that we have enlightened you with the information that we've given. We'll be back here Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our newcomer class. And the number for that is 319-527-9197. 319-527-9197. And the access code is 256039-POUND. 256039-POUND. We look forward to you joining the class, and then we'll be back on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to the same phone number and the same access code. You all have a wonderful rest of your evening, and we'll see you Thursday night. Shalom, shalom, everybody, and thank you for joining us.